As Richie said, this is the fourth in our series here at Holy Trinity or at Southeast Bendigo Parish on the signs of Jesus in John's Gospel. Pretty spectacular sign, I think. I'd like to start with a proverb and then we'll pray. This is from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. And it says, "One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you revealed through Jesus your Son as he came and walked amongst us, and above all for his sacrifice on the cross and for his glorious resurrection, for his discipleship of his apostles and for the work they continued after your work on earth was done. We have benefited greatly from their work. May we continue on their heritage. In your name and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I wonder how you would feed 10,000 people for dinner. I made a rude comment about my mum this morning, but I'm not going to make that again. It's nuts. How would you feed that many people for dinner? Can you imagine a crowd that big? I mean, I've been to some big games. It's the Strathstorm Footy Club. And they were big. There were probably about 6,000 or 7,000 there. Not 10,000 or possibly even more. And this is a big crowd. Catering is a nightmare at the best of times. But this situation, it's insane. I mean, let's think about these numbers for just a minute. 5,000 men, all the gospel recorders write. 5,000 men plus women and children. Surely that's about 10,000 at least, I'd reckon. And how do you think these disciples of Jesus responded to this mass of travellers wandering around the Sea of Galilee, trudging up the hill, a bit weary, they've been walking a long time? Do you think the disciples might have been overwhelmed? Do you think they were prepared? Do you think they were expectant of Jesus' ability to handle this developing situation? Now let's mix it up a bit. How do you respond to the 100,000 or so people who live in Bendigo who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour? Are you overwhelmed? Are you prepared? Are you expectant of Jesus' ability to handle this present situation? Are you willing to admit that you need help to reach out in Jesus' name? Or do you still think you can tell God how he should do it? Well, we've got our reading tonight. Naomi's read it from John 6. This is Sunday School 101, the feeding of the 5,000 or more on the hillside. This miracle, this event, is one of the very, very few things that are common between all four gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all record this event. And it's not surprising, really. It was spectacular. It would have been stained in the minds of those, written, etched in their minds for generations to come, what happened on that hillside on that time around Passover. And as we shall see in a moment, it forms those disciples as apostles for the years ahead after Jesus' ascension. We know the story, don't we? Jesus and his disciples gather, they withdraw to a remote place near the Sea of Galilee for a bit of R&R and to do some intense discipleship. The crowd slowly made their way around to where they were. They went through the town of Bethsaida and up into the hill country. It was a long way, and any supplies they would have carried with them would have been well and truly consumed by the time they got there. It was a small time of teaching and healing, the other gospel writers tell us. And then there was a feeding out of what was an impossibly small supply of food. Effectively 5 scones and a couple of small fish. Impossibly small amount of food. The crowd, after they'd been fed, were no longer hungry. They'd had their fill of wisdom and wonders, and they were well fed. And the whispers started. If only it could be like this all the time. this is just what happened with Moses. The Passover and the escape from Egypt and the Red Sea and the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and the tabernacle and the quail and the manna. We should make Jesus of Nazareth our king. And then all the time we'll have wisdom and wonders and be well fed. Of course Jesus knew what was happening. He made haste to get his disciples away and then he got himself to safety further up into the hill country. The actions of Jesus in this event is the work of God the Son in action. The Creator, through him all things were created, we're told in Colossians 1. Jesus saw and he knew the need of the crowd, especially the need they had no awareness of themselves. He tested his disciples. Tell them, you're a local? Where's the local Maccas? Go and let a few fillet of fishes here. What were the options for Phil? What, would Philip expect Jesus to supply the need? And Jesus brought order out of the chaos by making the disciples sit the crowd down in groups of 50 and groups of 100, which is still a lot of people in single groups, hundreds and fifties, let's face it. And he offered thanksgiving for what they did have. He did have provisions in front of him. And out of that he provided enough to cater for the crowd, and he commanded that none of the leftovers should be wasted. The record showed the abundance of the leftovers from those humble offerings. Interesting how our Lord says nothing should be wasted. Don't let it go to waste. And you know what? These actions of Jesus, seeing, testing, bringing order out of chaos, offering thanksgiving, provision, and leftover, none of the leftovers being wasted, I think these actions guided the disciples in their apostleship after Pentecost. Let's have a look. The disciples after Pentecost expected God to see the needs of the people that they came across. They expected God to act to address these needs through signs and wonders, through healings, through provision, through wise teaching. It's all through the Acts of the Apostles. Then the disciples grew through the tests and the trials that came to them. Phil, a local lad from Bethsaida, in Acts chapter 8, is found witnessing, performing powerful signs and baptizing Ethiopian court officials in Jesus' name all over the place. He didn't need to know where the local Maccas was. He had God providing everything he needed. He had been through the trial. The disciples grew as their numbers grew and the administrative trials arose. Through prayer, they created order within the church. God provided 7 Greek Christians to distribute the provisions and share the load, the work. And they constantly offered thanksgiving for everything they received. For the good stuff and for the beatings and the imprisonment, because they were counted as worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. They knew that all of their needs would be met regardless of how things looked from a human perspective. This feeding of the 10,000 or thereabouts was well known throughout Galilee, and the disciples probably for generations. You can imagine a couple of fellows sitting at the pub a little while later on. Jesus of Nazareth? Oh yeah, I was there at the Galilee Sea when he gave us all a good feed. Never seen anything like it. Pity that the Romans got him and killed him. He could really have changed the world, you know. Now, I thought he was the prophet that Moses talked about. You know, the one who would bring God's kingdom into the world. Anyway, it was a good feed that day. There were 2 groups of people on that hillside with Jesus, weren't there? There was the crowd who remembered it fondly, not much else, and there were the disciples. Are you one of the disciples prepared to take up your cross and to follow his actions and to trust him? To go to distant hillsides and be discipled and be confronted by insurmountable challenges by human standards? Or are you one of the crowd, looking for wisdom and wonders and to be well fed, not really being sure about paying the price to be a disciple of Jesus, to give up security and social status to be a Christian. According to the people who should know these things, there's about 112,000 people in Greater Bendigo. Probably a lot more than that, but that's the stats that I found on the ID website. There's maybe 1,000, possibly 2,000 disciples of Jesus who lift up their eyes and see the crowd and who hear the question, how are we going to feed all these people, Phil? Where's the local Maccas? And those disciples, they hear Jesus' laughter as he asks it. Because you know what? Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Are you hungry like the crowd? And then too easily satisfied when your belly's full and the secret desires of your heart are satisfied, at least for the moment? Or are you one of his disciples who has persevered through times of testing and seen the almighty provision from our Lord to feed the deepest needs, even as our temporal wants go unfulfilled? See, our Creator's love for his creation has never ceased. He, more than any of us, knows our deepest need, our hunger, is to be reconciled to him. He's done everything that is required for everyone to be reconciled to him. He has opened the way for the crowds. Wisdom and wonders and being well fed are his gifts, but they're not the solution to our deepest need. It was the need of the crowds who sought Jesus on that hillside. It's the need of our world today, and it's the need of the people of Bendigo, and it's the need of our own heart. And through Jesus, he has called us to be disciples and tests us to help us understand his work and provision. And you know what? Sometimes we can be pretty thick. I'm looking at myself first here. And we flunk the test because we refuse to even try. We see the crowds. We hear the voices of 100,000 against us and we go, oh, it's not too hard. I don't know where to start. Well, can't feed these people. And yet he still uses us to bring order out of the chaos. To take his word, the bread of eternal life, to groups of 100, to groups of 50, to groups of 5, to groups of 1, to take the word and feed the people. And he provides far more abundantly than we could possibly imagine. You might look around and say, really? He's provided? Where is everyone then? He's provided? What has he provided? Well, if you've got a Bible in front of you right now, hold it up. Hold up your Bibles. Yep. If you're not holding up a Bible and there's one in the pew in front of you, hold it up. I don't see a shortage. I see an abundant provision. Now, never before has the Bible been so available. We've got stacks of them sitting in our pews. You can take one. I'll give you permission to take one if you haven't got one. If you want to take one for a friend, take it for a friend to give it away. You know what? I know Greg's not going to be upset. I know church council won't be worried if one of these Bibles goes into the hands of someone who is needy, who needs to be reconciled to the Lord our God. Never before has the Bible been so abundantly available in book Bibles or online Bibles or Bible software, and yet survey after survey reveals that Christians don't study the Word. They might read a Bible verse on Facebook or on social media, or they might read one verse in a book one today or something like that, but they don't sit down and they don't read through John chapter 6 and they say, whoa, how did he do that? How did he say that to those people? How did he die on that cross? What does it mean he died on the cross? And they go to Romans and they say, whoa! Is that what the cross truly means? And studying the word. Christians, we're just not doing it. When was the last time you had your mind blown by what you read in Scripture? I hope it was this morning. God has abundantly provided. And our idea of prayer is too often is squeezing it in between all the other stuff, if we get to it. I wonder if you spend more time on social media than you do in prayer. What are you looking for? What you need isn't on social media, believe you me. What you need is found in prayer. God has given us the gift of prayer. Why would you not use it? To bring everything to Him. He's opened up the way. He's listening. He sees the need. He says, I love you so much. I want you to tell me about it. And if you think He doesn't already know about it, you are sadly mistaken. He wants you to be in communication with Him through it. Because His deepest desire is to meet your deepest need for you and hundreds of thousands of people to be reconciled to Him. We are so busy seeking after a full belly that we've neglected reading the Word, Scripture, studying the Scriptures and praying. God's provision has been abundant. Proverbs 27 verse 7, one who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. You know, it's like we take discipleship as an optional extra, or worse, as a get into heaven card to play when we stand before Him on that last day. You know, we'll say, oh, hey Jesus, look at when I went to church that day and I even downloaded an app about Jesus once. Can I go in now? To be disciples who see the crowd, who take full confidence in the risen Jesus, who know the power of His kingdom and God's desire that all should turn to Him in faith and not perish. Well, that's a sign and a wonder that God has worked in you and in me. We have nothing to offer Him, and He's given us everything in the bread of life, Jesus, God the Son. He gave everything for us, and He's opened the way for everyone in Bendigo to turn to Him and to receive eternal life, just as we have as disciples. If there were 10,000 on that hillside on that sunny day around Passover time beside the Sea of Galilee, there are only 500 or so who were around after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. You know that a few thousand more were added to the number at Pentecost, but they were from everywhere else, from a whole lot of places that we struggle to pronounce every Pentecost Sunday. Where were those 10,000? Who took the free food? Who saw the wonders and heard the wisdom and left it at that? Where did their faith lie? Could they live with a crucified Messiah? Even if He'd done such a wonder in their midst, they couldn't deny or forget that was spoken about by everyone. Are you part of the crowd or are you a disciple? How will you feed the 100,000 of Bendigo? By faith in God's abundant provision. To the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Let me pray for us. Father, we have people every side of us in this world who are hungry. Some will recognise that hunger. Many will not. That You love them. Please give us the word and the words to say, to witness faithfully, to take action, to speak. And please give us the hunger to study Your Scriptures and to come to You in prayer as we undertake the work that You have given to us in the tradition of Your apostles. And we pray this in and through the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.